For the last 20 years or so, our culture has been somewhat obsessed with reality television shows. I'm sure none of you watch them, but maybe some of you tune in from time to time. But people watch all sorts of real-life situations unfold on their TV screens. For instance, you can watch families who have lots and lots of kids, and that's interesting. You can watch people who live out in remote wilderness areas and see if they're going to survive through the winter. Maybe they won't. You can watch police officers on patrol. I enjoy that. You can watch doctors and nurses and veterinarians and all sorts of professional people doing all sorts of odd things that you've always wondered, how do they do those things? Well, now you can watch and you can see how they do it because cameras follow them everywhere they go. Now, I'm not sure how this trend started. I imagine some TV executive must have thought one day, what people really want to watch is the ordinary daily life of people that they don't actually know. And so this spawned this, and it's been 20, 25 years of this. It's not just a trend. I think it's caught on. It's going to be here for a while. But what I really don't understand is why the people who are on the reality shows, why they think it's a good idea to have their life filmed 24/7, I guess, for other people to watch, and then why they want to share their intimate thoughts about all the things that they do in their lives. I guess people like to be famous, and you can become famous for doing anything these days. But it does raise an interesting question that I want us to think about today, and that is, how would your life change if you knew that someone was always watching? How would you change your life if there was always a camera on you? And if you knew somebody else was going to see what was happening at every moment of your life? I think most of us like our privacy. We don't want the world looking in. We don't want people seeing everything we do. The truth is, all of our lives are full of, to some degree, inconsistencies and secrets and things you don't want other people to know about us. Our homes all have doors and window shades on them, and they have them for a reason. Then again, we know that God watches over us all the time, right? Nothing you will ever do in your life, nothing you will ever say, nothing you will ever think is hidden from God. And one of the most powerful truths about our relationship with God is that He knows you completely. He knows all of the good, all of the bad, all of the public things about you as well as all of the private things about you. God knows all of that, all the ordinary things, all of the strange little things that you think, nobody will know that about me. God knows it all. And yet, He still loves you. He still loves you perfectly. And there's a beautiful passage of Scripture. In fact, it's one of my favorite passages, Psalm 139, that tells us that God knows us completely. Listen to the opening verses, Psalm 139. This was written by King David. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. If we're honest, those words fill us with a little bit of fear. Maybe some comfort as well, but certainly a little bit of fear, because everything that we do, everything that we think is known by God. All the good along with all the bad, nothing is hidden. Even those things that you wish you had never done, God knows that you did them. All those things that you hope no one is ever going to find out about this. Well, God already knows. But we also find some comfort in these words because God takes all this in. He searches you. He knows you completely. And yet He still chooses to love you. He still chooses to draw you to Himself, despite all of the things that we wish no one knew about us. You see, there's relief that comes from sharing a secret. There's sort of an unburdening when we confess something that we've done that maybe we wish we hadn't have done, but we let the secret out, and there's sort of a relief that comes from that. There's a comfort in knowing I'm not alone. Someone else knows who I am. Someone else knows what I've done, and it's okay. It's okay, they still love me. So the good news for us today as we continue reading through Psalm 139 is that God knows you completely and yet He loves you perfectly. And that is good news for us. And so I hope that as we read through these words, you'll find comfort here and you'll find good news in this passage. But we begin with this truth that God knows you inside and out. God knows you inside and out. In other words, He knows your public life, the parts of your life that everybody else could see if they were watching. But God also knows what happens inside. Verse 1, David writes, "You've searched me and you know me." God has searched you. He sees it all. He hears it all. He even knows your thoughts. He understands your deepest longings, your fears. He knows the joys of your heart. When we lived in Michigan several years ago, in our front yard, we had a large blue spruce tree that I guess it kept growing every year. Every year I'd have to prune away the lower branches so that I could mow and so that we could see underneath the tree. And so I'd prune away the first couple of feet of branches up from the ground. And one time as I was doing this, I cut a branch and out fell a sparrow's nest. And inside were four little sparrow eggs. And so I quickly picked up the eggs and put them back in the nest and found a branch that I wasn't going to cut and put the nest back in there, hoping that the mother would come back and take care of her eggs. But of course I felt terrible about this, and I immediately thought of Jesus' words. Right? You probably know these words. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care?" And He goes on to make the point that we as God's children are worth far more than sparrows, but God knows even the little things that happen in His world. God watches over the sparrows. How much more does He watch over you? Does He see the things that happen in your life? And yes, God even knows what you think. God even knows the desires of your heart. He knows, in fact, what you're going to say before you even say it. And sometimes we think about saying something and then we think better and we don't say it. God knows that too. He knows what you are about to say. God knows what you fear, what you love, what you worry about. God knows what you long after. No one else may know what goes on inside of your heart, inside of your mind. But God knows it all. There is nothing hidden from Him because He searches us over and He knows us completely. Listen again to now starting from verse 5. "You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." darkness is as light. The second, I think, comforting truth, the second truth from this passage is that God follows behind you and He goes before you. He follows behind and He goes before. Every parent knows what it's like to watch over your kids. You think about it, going out shopping. I don't know if any of you went out on Black Friday. You take your life into your hands, right? You go to the mall on Black Friday. Imagine being there with your kids, little kids, and the crowds all around, and you look one way, oh, look at this TV that's on sale, and you turn around, and your child is gone. They've vanished, and maybe they're only 2 feet away, but someone's standing between you and them, and you have that moment of panic. Where have they gone? And so for the rest of the day, you hold their hand, and you don't let them out of your sight, and you keep a close watch. How much more does God watch over us, seeing us at every moment? But this is how God cares for us. You hem me in, David writes, behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me so that we can't get away. God always has His hand on our shoulder, always holding our hand wherever we go, so that we are never lost, so that we're never alone, so that we're never out of God's sight. He goes behind us. He goes before us. He guards our back and He makes our way forward. He leads us forward. Are you facing a difficult, uncertain situation in your life? Are you walking down a scary road that you're not sure where exactly it leads? I don't know what's coming next. God is with you. He's walking there with His hand on your shoulder. You're not too far from Him. You're not out of His reach. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter when you go there. If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the other side of the sea, it doesn't matter. God's there. All the time, everywhere. And so when trouble comes, and it does come for us, God never promised that our life will be perfect. He doesn't promise that He will protect us from all harm and all difficulty. What He promises is that He'll be with us, that He'll never leave us alone, that He'll walk through the fire and through the storm with His hand on our shoulder. Our constant companion. Now, this also means that you can't hide from God. And I know there are times, if you're honest, if I'm honest, there are times I wish God that you didn't see that thing that I just said, or that thought that I just had. But we can't hide from Him. David writes, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Maybe the darkness will hide me. Maybe in the dark of night I can do things that God won't know about." No, I'm sorry. The darkness, the dark will be not dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness is as light to you. God sees it all. God is always with us. And it is good news. He goes behind us. He goes before us. He's always there with us, with His hand on our shoulder. Continuing reading now in verse 13. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Another word of comfort and truth from this passage is that God formed you and He has loved you from the start. From the very beginning of your existence, God has been with you, creating you, forming you, shaping you, and loving you. Science has taken the mystery out of a lot of things. Science can do some extraordinary things, but the intricate design of human life is still amazing. And though science studies it and tries to explain it, science and technology cannot produce what God can produce in the human womb. Our bodies, our lives are God's handiwork. And science cannot recreate it. God formed you, your body, your mind, your soul, with His loving hands. And when He did great work. You are wonderfully made. In other words, your life is put together, body and soul, in a way that only God could do it. And just as God wanted. And even now, God still shapes your life. He holds you in His hands. He forms you. He creates in you the person He wants you to be. Like a potter working with clay, God shapes you with His wise, His loving hands. He makes you into that person that He designed you to be. He gives you skills. He gives you talents. He calls you to serve His purposes. He created your life not on mistake, not just because you're one of several billion people in this world, but He created you for the exact purpose and reason that He had in mind when He knit you together. And you are still that person that God wants you to be. He created you and He loves you. And your life is held in His hands, and He has always and He will always hold you there in His wise and loving hands. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God is writing the story of your life. And He will continue writing that story until the very moment when He calls you home to be with Him for eternity. And that is the promise and the good news that He has for us. Now there are two more verses I want us to hear today. Verses 17 and 18. David, as he takes all this in, all that God has done in his life, all that God knows about him, all the ways that God shaped his life. And then in verse 17, he says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." You see, we will never reach the end of God's wisdom and love for us. He knows us completely. God knows every little thing about your life. He knows every thought and word and dream and desire. But we will never know everything about God. He's too big. He's too glorious. He's too powerful for us to fathom and take it all in. Our minds cannot absorb all that God is. But we do know with complete certainty that our God is good, that our God is kind and merciful. We know with complete certainty that our God is powerful and mighty and holy and glorious. We can't know everything about God, but we know enough about Him to praise Him and worship Him forever and ever. And in fact, that is what we will do for all eternity. We will praise God forever, and you might think, oh, aren't we going to get tired of just singing these songs? I mean, how many songs can there be? And eternity is a long time. But you see, I think the truth is that we will continually be discovering new and wonderful things about God for all eternity. And it will be like whatever your favorite thing to watch, sports or the news or movies or TV, whatever it is, and there's some new thing that happens, and wow, look at that new touchdown, and wow, look at that new whatever it is that fascinates you right now. I think for all eternity we will watch God, and it will be new and fresh and wonderful and glorious, and we'll never reach the end. Because God is that infinite and that glorious. And our minds, even in heaven, won't be able to take it all in at once. Now, best of all, we know Jesus. We know that Jesus came into the world so that we could know God. Jesus came into the world so that He could call us friends, so that we could know Him and be a part of the work that He's doing in this world. Jesus came so that He could draw us close to God, so that He could invite us to be a part of the work that God is doing in this world. And so He allows us to know God. Psalm 139 tells us these amazing things about our amazing God, that He searches us, He knows us completely. And as scary as that might be in one way, I think it's also good news. God knows us completely. He loves us perfectly. He takes us all in, and He holds us in His hands like an artist inspecting a great work of art. He examines every little part of it, and He declares us to be wonderful. He declares you to be worthy of His love, because Jesus Christ is our Savior. God chooses to take us into His hands and allow us to be with Him forever, because He loves us that much. And in response to this extraordinary God, in response to this amazing love that He has for us, we love Him as well. And we trust Him with our lives. And we rejoice. We rejoice in the grace that He pours over us through Jesus Christ. And so for the next few weeks, we'll be headed into Advent beginning next Sunday. And we'll be thinking about why Jesus came into the world and why He loves us and how much Jesus did for us. And so this morning we rejoice that God looks down at our lives and He sees every little part of us. And knowing everything that He knows about you, God chose to send you the Savior so that He could be with you forever. So we rejoice today in that good news. Let me ask you to bow your heads and we'll pray now. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You that You search us and You know us. You know every little thing about us and You love us. And You reveal Your goodness to us. So, Father, we give You thanks today. We give You thanks for Your love and Your power, Your infinite glory. And I pray that You would help us to seek after You and help us to find comfort in knowing that You're with us. No matter where we go or what we face, You hold us in Your hands. And so, Father, we love You today and we give You thanks in Jesus' good name.